Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody know who Willie Lynch was? Anybody? Raise your hand. He was a vicious slave owner in the West Indies. The slave masters in the colony of Virginia were having trouble controlling their slaves, so they sent for Mr. Lynch to teach them his methods.
Keep the slave physically strong, but psychologically weak and dependent on the slave master.
Keep the body, take the mind. I and every other professor on this campus are here to help you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind.
Hello, Corey, did I get you on?
I'm here, what's going on?
Oh, okay, brother. Yeah, I couldn't hear you for a second.
Buddy, I was here, man. I thought you was doing something on your end.
Okay, no, not a problem, brother. Nah, yeah, I was just doing a very quick intro, man, just saying, saying thanks for being on with us tonight. Because I pretty much told him, I don't know if you heard what I said, so I just wanted to make sure we got you on, man. This is just pop-up radio. It's real raw. There's no real format, but you have some things going on. I don't know if you got the show on in the background, but I think it may be echoing, or I don't know if it's on my end.
Oh, no, it's on my end. Hold on.
Okay, no problem.
But does it matter?
Yeah, absolutely better, King. Nah, absolutely, man. So, yeah, I just wanted to say what's up to the Truth Seekers, man. We're going to get right into it, and then we'll definitely get into some things you got going on in relation to tonight's show when it comes down to this brother, James Shaw Jr. Definitely want to get into that discussion tonight. But again, if you just say what's up to everybody, man, we're going to just chop it up on the phone for a little while, man, and get some information out that I think people need to hear, King.
And call this Monday Night Raw. Let's do it.
Hey, as simple as that, man. Yeah, absolutely, man. So, obviously, as I mentioned, the brother James Shaw Jr., definitely a hero as far as how people are looking at him. But, you know, you had some different thoughts when it came to, you know, what's happening, because you are a Nashville resident. And from what I understand, the particular Whopper House that the situation took place from is right around the corner from you. Is that correct, man?
Yeah, man. I say literally, if I catch all green lights, man, I'll be there in 2 minutes. So I'm 2 minutes off green lights, about 5 minutes total.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
ground
man,
zero,
right
King.
Up the alley. Yeah.
Yep.
And the reality is that me and my son was actually finna go up there. My son who just moved with me down from Chicago. I took him to Waffle House earlier in the week and picked him up from. He enjoyed it, so I picked him up from work later on that night, and he wasn't hungry, and he said, hey, that pops, man, I want to go ride a Waffle House. And we're probably looking about 2:40-ish and whatnot.
Oh
so
goodness.
Here I am, you know, like, hey, man, let's go ahead and ride out. And I said, man, you know I'm trying to lose some weight, man. I can't be eating that shit late at night. So he
right.
started laughing and whatnot, and that's what kept me in the house. And that statement said,
wow.
Hey, man, you know I'm trying to lose some damn weight, man. That's
right,
what kept me in
right.
the house.
And your son, if I understand, your son's your workout partner too, right? Am I right on that?
Yeah, man. He, you know, since me and him started getting at it, man, I'm down 11 pounds or whatnot. He kind of watching. He's definitely watching what I eat. Ain't no kind of. I come in the house, man, with anything in my bag, or he'll come to my room and just make sure my green cup is actually filled with water instead of Douce and pineapple juice. So. Yeah, you know my nightly drink. So you know he's been definitely on it, man. And I appreciate the young lady Chris is becoming, but most importantly, man, holding his father accountable. to the words that I told him. So, yeah, man, but that's what kept us out the Waffle House, man. Me saying, no, man, you know I'm trying to do this diet shit. I cannot be eating late at night. It's the only reason why I didn't go.
Wow. Wow. Like I say, I saw that you were that close to it. And but, yeah, I had no idea that you also thought about going to that very same Waffle House, man. So that's even closer to home, man. But let's just go ahead and jump right into to that aspect with it, you know, in a sense, just being around the corner from your house. You were really of the position of this is in our neighborhood and they don't have this dude apprehended. And let me just say this real quick. His name will not be said on this show. I've always been under the belief of anytime this dumb stuff happens, we shouldn't give any notoriety. There should be a media blackout on these people's names because, you know, they do this for some sense of glory, right? And so one thing that I would love the media to do is take away that their name is going to go down in infamy by pouring
right.
out. I mean, of course, I understand the fact that he has to be apprehended, which is usually a little different because, unfortunately, more than likely, had he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish, then it could have been even much uglier than the situation than it already was, you know, because of James Shaw. But had it turned into what he probably was looking to turn into, we know how these stories typically end. The police eventually come, and either they kill themselves or whatever the case may be. And so this is, you know, some almost an attention grab with this crazy stuff anyway. So,
right,
yeah, I just want
right.
to make it real clear. I'm not, James Shaw's name will ring all day on this tonight, but I never, ever give those people the name out my mouth because I don't want them to have no credit.
Nah, man,
we don't
have to give this weak-ass white boy no credit whatsoever, man.
Yep.
So
I just wanted to say that because I hadn't said it to you. So with that said, though, brother, because it touched home for you, you also let it be known that since he was free, you felt that it was your duty living in that community. How long have, and let me say this real quick, actually this real too, how long have you been in the community? But I know you took it upon yourself to say, if this dude is in the neighborhood, we need to find him. Like you literally, for what I understand, you know,
I got in the truck, brought an extra clip, took the safety off, and went everywhere the cops went. When the cops was door knocking, I was driving in the subdivision. You know what I'm saying? And ironically, I actually went, I wasn't too far off on Sunday. I actually went near the woods they caught them at.
Okay.
So I was all in that
wow.
area. I'm like, because they're constantly building in this area. I'm like, this fool is not in the house, first and foremost. He's not in the house. So either he got an accomplice that has taken him far, but I was like, nah, because I don't think he was the type to really flee the scene in such a manner. Man, he was ready to do some more damage. So, you know, man, got in the truck, man, drove around the areas where they're building new subdivisions. I drove up where we in some of the wooded areas. I got out of my truck. It was raining, so, you know, I'm soaking shit. Got out of my truck, man, had the strap, walked through the woods, you know. Then I sat there for, like, 4 or 5 minutes to make sure, you know, I ain't hearing any ruffling of the woods or whatnot. So I didn't hear anything, man. Got back in the truck, man. I went to a grammar school that has two big garbage disposals in the back, man. Got out, checked the garbage disposals, checked under some of the trailers. I went to a trailer park community, you know, because they said he was naked and, you know, only had pants on, and I'm not disrespecting the people who stay in the trailer park, this particular trailer park, where maybe even Trump might blend in. So, you know, I went searching in there as well, man, because at the end of the day, that's our damn community, man. We got kids who live in this community, man, you know, and I'm from the era that when somebody come do some bullshit in your community, man, you go straight after that guy. Like, I grew up watching people whoop people ass for hitting people and attempting to run in their car. You know what I'm saying? Like we ain't waiting for the law to come. We getting that ass right then and there. So that's definitely was my mindset. I mean, I know I'm on a podcast, but shit, you know, best believe I wasn't looking to go apprehend them. just know that. They wasn't they I wasn't
right.
looking to apprehend.
Yep.
There
let
was
me,
head
me,
shots,
let me,
there was body shots. Yeah,
yeah.
Let's
dig into that. Let's dig into that.
Yeah.
Let's dig into that because I know you know, in a sense, receive some backlash to a certain extent, and I don't want to go there first because I want to tell you what I'm hearing as I'm listening to you. You know, obviously, I didn't know to what extent, in a sense, as you say, you were on, you know, pretty much on a mission, and I definitely respect the era and, you know what I mean, and you know, like again, coming from that background where, you know, we handling it before the police even get involved, so I do understand the perspective. But as I listen to you, I'm gonna tell you what I thought about as I listened to you, because when I first mm-hmm. got wind that you know, as far as you was concerned, you were saying who else wanna, you know, what I'm saying, take on this mission because we got to make sure our neighborhood is safe. So you know, I saw in a sense saw that messaging, and I thought to myself, I'm like, okay, man, I respect it. Don't know if I completely understand it, but when I'm listening to you right now, tell me, this is the thought that crossed my mind, and tell me if this was a part of your thinking. So you obviously living in the neighborhood, you know, you're getting the message, and you know, obviously hearing it firsthand well before the rest of us knowing anything about it, you know, outside of Nashville. So is the thinking, because of, again, how it was done and the fact of what he wanted to do, as I listened to you, I never thought about this until I just heard you talk about it, was this dude might still want to do what he planned to do, even if it ain't where he initially planned to do it. So it's not just a matter of finding him, like you said, and apprehending him, because like you said, that's not your mindset. But it was more or less, if this is the, you know, not only has he done some damage as we speak, but as far as you're concerned, you know, he could be like any other person with an arsenal, planning to go do something else. So is that some of the thinking behind why you thought it felt it so necessary to do what you just described to me? If you can, you know, just kind of break it down, because I didn't think about it until I heard you speak on it just now.
I mean, hell yeah, that was the mission. Like, we got to get this nigga out our community like this. You know, you're going to, because, yeah, man, Waffle House, I don't care what people say about the food, man. I always say, man, that's your perfect super libation place to be, man. When you lit, you know what I'm saying, you want a fast meal, man. Man, that Waffle House is damn near like Cheers, man. People know your name. They know what you like to eat. You know what I'm saying? Good vibes, and then the employees was always 100. And, you know, this is a place I frequent. So, shit, I mean, if you're going to come to Waffle House, you know, and then shoot up, because early in the week he was just at a superstore. He was just at Publix talking shit. So, you know, he could have snapped off then. I mean, once again, this is a grocery store that I go to. This is a grocery store that I send my son to. This is a grocery store where my mother shops at. This is a grocery store, you know what I'm saying, where my ex-girlfriend shop at. This is a grocery store that a lot of my, you know, colleagues and the people I'm with the Tennessee State go to. So, no, man, you got to put an end to that madness ASAP. You know, we got to drive that fear, you know, we got to drive that fear out of our community. But most importantly, we got to let a copycat know that if a copycat come around, you ain't just going to be just shooting people and think you're going to get home scot-free, man. No, man, headshots got to be delivered. Ain't no ifs, ands, whats, or buts about it. And the men in the community that didn't get out to go look for this guy, man, they just some cowards to me. Ain't no ifs, ands, whats, or buts about it. They cowards. Nothing they can say can make me justify, like, okay, I get it. Nothing they can say to make me get it. This motherfucker's in your backyard. You get what I'm saying? Nah, we
taking people out.
You know,
taking people
I just
out.
Ain't going.
I mean, and the story would be much uglier if it wasn't for a one Mr. James Shaw. So the story would, you know, be much uglier. And as I listen to you, brother, I'm actually studying the period after the Emancipation Proclamation in this country up until about 1950s. I'm reading a book called Slavery by Another Name, and as I hear your personal mission, I recently just read a story where it wasn't a situation where someone had gotten killed, but some disrespect had happened in the neighborhood, and the men in that neighborhood literally surrounded the jail, brothers, to get this brother out who had wrongly accused. Like, you know, that was the mindset, that this can't happen in our neighborhood. And they literally went, and this is in the, you know, in the early 1900s, when, you know, when,
right.
where lynching was prominent. This is in South Carolina this happened. And so I'm listening to you, and you say, you reached out, you felt like there was people that say, well, put it in the law's hands. What's your, you know, I already kind of said, the, you know, how you feel personally about the men who allow or was willing to allow this man to stay in the backyard. But for those who are saying, well, you know, let's let the laws handle it. Just what's a response to somebody who feels that that's okay from you personally? Again, I'm just peeling back the thought process and how you, in a sense, went on this personal mission to ensure that your neighborhood was safe, brother. What's your thoughts for anybody still feeling that way?
Nah, ain't nobody feeling that way, man. I mean, they already had some prayer vigils. You know, the pastors, they went into their playbooks. You know, get the vigil, check. Call James Shaw a hero, check. Let everybody know that God got this situation under control, check. Send your ass on home, done. Same age script, man. They did the same manuscript. You know, I ain't going. I'm just not going. It's 2018. I'm tired of the playbook. If you went on my Facebook page today, you will see I gave the exact playbook of what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What they going to call it, if they going to give him a bond, are they raising money for him. I already called the play. I already called the script out. And it's happening.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I told folks, shit, man, white supremacy is like our favorite episode of Martin and Dave Chappelle, man. We're going to keep reliving that shit until we realize this shit ain't funny no more. And it ain't funny no more, man. And today's black men, man, majority of them are some straight cowards. You can't come to my – I mean, I remember when I used to sell dope, man. You couldn't come to my block hustling. Like, we used to work shifts. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't serve on my shift. If you went in your pocket and like you finna serve on my shift, we busting your ass on sight. You know what I'm saying? Certain codes and principles, man, that we just completely forgot. And we don't honor no more. And then we hide behind scripture. You know what I'm saying? Or we hide behind a justifiable reason. When my wife didn't want me to go, man, I got a family. Fuck that, nigga. That's why you got to get out there, because you got a family. I knew people that got shot up there that died. I've seen James several times, you know, just in different environments and networking mm-hmm. mixes. I don't know the brother personally, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying, but I've seen him several times. So to know that, and he's a TSU alum, you know, so for him to do it and then to hear men say they would – they still wouldn't have done it, man. That's like shit. My respect for black men has went down.
And here's a perfect segue for me to kind of jump in for any of my listeners out there, and also understanding, again, this is raw and uncut. This is how we do it with the MD pop-up. So it's all appreciated, King. Let me say that to you first and foremost. Is just, you know, just giving it to a straight, no chaser. And so as I listen to you, it kind of reminds me of something you just said. Reminds me of something Tupac. I heard Tupac say before he passed, something that Huey P. Newton used to talk about when he was within the Black Panthers, when they talk about, in a sense, to a certain extent, the idea of the revolution is always left to the youth. And Pac said something specifically that when it comes to the type of action that you speak of, that is something that is, he always said, you can only be revolutionary. Pac said you can only be revolutionary before 30, because before you still got that fire. Now I know you're older than 30, but I'm just throwing out that it reminded me of him talking to, you know, making this quote saying that, you know, the idea that fire to do what might be necessary is in you, in your youthfulness. But as you get older and get your family and kind of quell that down, then in a sense you become cowardly to the action that might be necessary. So when I listen to you talk about you know, knowing that you made this amazing transition, just to throw this out there, you know, like you said, you know, and we didn't even mention this, but growing up in Chicago and, like you said, having been in the streets and made this amazing transition, for anybody who we hadn't even mentioned it, but, you know, Corey is a prominent business, a very prominent businessman in the Nashville area. So having made a full transition, if you just heard the brother mention, you know, having spent some time in the streets and, in a sense, the rules and codes that they honored, still being a part of how he lives today, even as a prominent businessman, but being willing to do the ultimate. Protection of our women and children could require that you're willing to die for them. And that's something that has been lost, especially, in my opinion, to the older generation. A lot of us may talk about it, but when that moment comes, and that's how I even got wind of what you were doing, brother, it was your frustration in that it wasn't, in a sense, enough brothers stepping up, especially when you had a live shooter, is how that brother, is how this coward had to be looked at because of what happened. Wasn't already apprehended. He was basically on the loose. And as you come to find out, as you proved to be correct, in the neighborhood.
In the fucking woods. In the woods. In the neighborhood. 7 minutes from where I stay at, on the loose. And then the gall and audacity of Metro schools still keeping the schools open. You know what I'm saying? On a Monday, and this motherfucker sitting on the loose with more ammunition. You didn't think he was going to go to the schools and act a fool? I definitely think he was trying to get to the schools. You know what I'm saying? Stole a car, had two more arms. Had some more ammunition on them, some more guns on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, we just
had enough that the jacket that Shaw threw off of him had two clips in it, from what I understand. And I haven't, and I'm glad you're bringing
clips.
The details to the table. But that tell me if the man throw the jacket off and delete two clips, he definitely got more ammunition. And then, as you have now proven from once he was captured, that he did have more clips. So, like you said, like, yeah, what's the thinking behind the reaction? But forget the
reaction,
as you said, the government, the reaction of us. This is why we got to have this conversation. In a sense, talk about what does it take to put a battery in our back, standpoint of protecting our community. And I've long felt this way, Corey, let me say this to you. I've long felt that the biggest issue we have, in my opinion, the biggest issue we have in our community is a long psychological history of we as black men, generally speaking, being unable to protect our women and children in a manner that will make us feel like real men. I think that is a subconscious thing that has pretty much gotten to the point of why you felt alone at that moment. You know, if we're not raising warriors with a code of what it requires to ensure that our neighborhoods are safe. You know, I mean,
right.
To even think about, you got your codes when you were on in a quote unquote the wrong side of the law, but it's still in you. We have to recognize how important that code matters, and we want to raise a generation that don't have to be on the wrong side of the law to get the code.
Man, code matters, man, and you're right. There's too many sucker-ass niggas in this world, man, that's portraying the role of black men, man. I mean, I got into it yesterday. Had a couple of conversations with people. You know, the weakest shit men could tell, but we could agree to disagree. Now, you're just a fucking coward in the discussion. Like, we ain't no agree to disagree. Your action showed it. You know what I'm saying? So, I know for a fact a lot of the men that I spoke to yesterday wouldn't have done what James did. They'd have just laid down like some cowards.
And hope he don't,
you know,
hope they don't get shot.
Hope they don't get shot, man. Ain't nobody don't got no fight in them no more, man. And, you know, and this shit is acceptable in our community, man. It's acceptable in our community. And then, you know, the thing about it, man, I hate the fact that some of the women allow this shit in our community, man. We got a lot of women that I spoke to, you know, yesterday, because we had this conversation through Nashville. That was like, man, you know, Corey, why you go out there? You know, you shouldn't even went out there. Now, what the fuck you mean I shouldn't have went out there? You know, a 21-year-old girl,
that,
I got a 20-year-old daughter.
Right, I feel you. Let me jump in on that, though. Let me jump on that. And I got a couple callers want to get in. Andre, just hit one, brother, and I'll get you in on this thing. I know you're trying to get in, Andre. Our boy Andre on the line with us, too. But let me jump in real quick on what you just said. So here's the situation for the sisters, though. And this is, I think, again, you know, my community is the mental dialogue community. So what I always tell people, the answer is in the name itself. That mental dialogue, what we are to always attempting to do, is dealing with the psychology of a people suffering from post-traumatic slave syndrome, somewhat unknowingly. And so I'm constantly trying to deal with the psychology. And so when you say some of our women, well, where that's coming from, Corey, in my opinion, I want to hear your thoughts, and then we'll get Andre on. Where that's coming from, in my opinion, is it's related to when I was relaying that we've always had, there's been a historical issue with can we protect our women? In my opinion, really, since the day we were brought to these shores. And a lot of people, you know, try to assume there's nothing relatable to that time, but this is something that has been a constant issue for us as black men in this American experience. And so what I would offer, what's happened under this veil of white supremacy, and people don't like to use that term, but I think it's a reality that leads to this thinking. So what happens is, not only is that same fear, as you know, as you say, you know, sucker-ass brothers, as you call them, so that fear that is permeating our community, well, our women, in a sense, love us so much, also accept that fear to the extent that they don't want nothing to happen to you either, Corey. You know what I'm saying? Like, they will say to you, no, brother, you're good. You're a prominent leader in the community. The last thing we will want to do is lose you. So you see what I'm saying? So I'm saying the effect, that same fear permeates the men and to the women to the extent that they would say, no, Corey, why did you do that? We don't want any harm to come to you. But the reality of men stepping up, you should want your man to suspect, you know, protect you in that sense. You should want the men of the neighborhood to ensure there's not a live shooter running around in the woods in the neighborhood. But I'm just kind of, if you understand where I'm going here, I'm saying that same fear affects men and women almost the same way. It's kind of what I'm saying to you. I just want to hear your thoughts, and then we'll get Andre in.
Almost definitely. You know, I understand why a few didn't want me to go out there. On my manhunt, because a few of them knew that I was going to take his head off. Like, that's just, even my kids knew that. My mother knew that. They knew I was off with dude head. It wasn't no questions about it. And I get it when you look up, and I am the matriarch of my family. I do take care of the things here, and you know how I roll. I everything. Basically, I make all the damn decisions, so I get it. And from a protective standpoint, nah, you can't get out there and do your dizzle. But just from a man standpoint. And I had my kids watching me. My son was in the truck like, Dad, hey, I want to go. But I had to drop him off. You know what I'm saying? Like, they understood, man. Most women, they just not, man. I know I'm one of the last of the dying alpha males in this world, man. I know that. I just know that. I mean, I operate like that. People know I've been this, but like, It's just sickening, man. If somebody got to get pissed off, somebody has to become pissed off at the state of black men. Somebody just has to be pissed off. Everything ain't fucking scripture, man. We can't keep hiding behind scriptures, man. We can't keep hiding behind the cooler side. You know, they got a military, man, the National Guard. No, fuck that, man. You know what I'm saying? It's time to die with some honor. These motherfuckers taking us out without honor. It's time for us to die with honor. It's time for us to stand up for what we believe in. I mean, many of us. You know, and it's just fucking sickening, man. So, you know, I had two chicks, man, hung up the phone on me yesterday. Like, you need to turn back around, negative. Click. You know, I was out there for 3 hours.
Let's get Andre. Let's get Andre in here, brother. Anybody else that want to get in, please press 1 and get your 3 cents in on this evening's conversation with Black Socrates. As our guest is Corey Beal. This is my brother Andre up in here. Is that you, Andre?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, what's up, brother? You calling us out of New York, just trying to get the area code down.
How you feeling out there?
How you doing, King, man? What you got for us? Go ahead and jump in.
Yeah, so touching on what Corey was saying, I didn't even know all this was going on. I've kind of been off of social media, so I heard you guys rap about it. I heard a little bit about it earlier. And what Corey did and what he's saying is absolutely 2,000% correct. I heard Joe Buttons has he has some new content, and he was in the room with a bunch of rappers, former/current street N-words, as they describe themselves, and talk about jail experiences and what real N-words do. And I'm just shocked and embarrassed that guys aren't bringing up George Zimmerman into the conversation. So this bravery, this hard N-word stuff, it typically stops when we leave the race. This, you know, I'm going to get you no matter what, it typically stops when we leave the race. And it's a real and what that brother did, who so he jumped in an interview when the guy was shooting, right? When the animal was shooting, correct?
Go ahead, Corey. Go ahead, Tom.
Now, he was trying to reload. He was trying to reload. Mm-hmm. And then the young lady was like, no, fuck that. We ain't having it. And he rushed him. He rush him, he slammed him. You know what I'm saying? They got to, you know.
Threw it over the counter and then pushed the dude out the building.
Man, so shout out to that brother, you know, for that leader, for being so brave. I had made a comment a little while ago. This was probably like a year or so ago, and I'd asked if. Would you want your husband?
Yeah. Hold on one second. Let me see. You got somebody in the back. Is that you, Corey, in the background, or you, Andre? Let me mute you for a second.
I'm going to press mute. My fault. My bad.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Yeah, I want to make sure people can hear Andre as well. All right. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah.
Start back over. We missed you for a second, King.
Sure. And I had asked, would you want your husband or your son or your father to do just in summary, to do what that guy did, to do what that leader did, and to do what Corey did, was to stand out in a time when it could save somebody's life. And in particular, now come back to me, in particular, it was, if a woman was getting attacked, would you want your son or your husband to get involved? And I was shocked. I was shocked, Montoya. About 80% of the people said no. They would want their son or their father or husband or brother to ignore the woman getting attacked because they wouldn't want them to risk their lives. So some things are worse than death. And allowing injustice to go on within our community, especially from outsiders, like, that's worse than death. And we have to have...
And that's how we're living.
We can't do everything. We can't always take extreme action. But damn it, how are we going to sleep? It was something else. This was a couple of years ago as well, when a lady got slammed by somebody. And I heard brothers saying on social media, if that was my daughter, if that was my wife, I would do X, Y, Z. And I was like, man, shut the F up. I wouldn't know whose daughter or whose sister it was out there. So I'm acting like it could be your sister, Montoya, or your daughter or your mother out there. So I'm three steps like it is. And I don't know what, and a lot of times we don't always have to fight the person, but our words and us intervening could stop whatever is going on. And I've done that a bunch of times, and I could have gotten hurt or killed or beat up. But for me, it was worth it for me to do that than not do that, than have to live with myself knowing that I have potentially let somebody a female be abused. So shout out to Corey, shout out to the King who stopped it. I'm a firm believer that death isn't the worst thing for a man. All right.
Well, let me throw this out while I got you, man, because here's in my mind, here's an opportunity to allow, in a sense, a narrative and messaging to permeate. Because like the moment you just said, I've been involved in a situation where a woman I didn't know, you know, having to stop the situation happening on the streets. I didn't know this woman. I didn't know to get guys. But I couldn't watch that moment. And so the idea that we allow it to go on is the issue. When we think of it from a personal standpoint, like you said, the idea that, well, if it's my daughter or if it's my mother, like if that's what it takes. Well, the reality is if we were to bring back this code, in a sense, that Corey is speaking about, because here's the reality. If you know me very well, Andre, I am not the one to sit around and denigrate our community in the way that we see done typically. But this area in my mind is most important that we begin to discuss so that we can raise our boys in a sense to be warriors and understand that what you just said, the very thing that you just said, the protection of our women and children should be worth our lives, to the extent that if the community gets in on that code, and that is how we're raised, then you will see a different treatment for at least our women and children. The perfect example that I'll never forget, and I did a YouTube on this when it happened, and Audrey, I'm pretty sure you remember it, but remember the young lady that got thrown across the room, the little young high schooler that got thrown across the room in South Carolina maybe a year or two ago? You remember that crazy situation? The thing that ran chills through my body was that the black teacher and the black administrator that did call in the truancy officer because they were having trouble with her, although probably wouldn't be my approach, but the biggest problem I had with that moment was, okay, even if y'all followed school procedures, I couldn't understand how those two black men, the moment that animal manhandled that young girl, that they didn't put a stop to it right there. Yes, we call you, but take your hands off that young girl right now.
Black men,
and the reason that it can happen is that 80%, that 80% answer you got when you provoke.
80%, Montoya. 80 effing percent.
And if you recall, I don't know if you noticed, because I followed it closely because it happened where I'm from. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, I remember. Remember it clearly. And most of us are scared to protect the woman we don't know, one. And most of us are scared to retaliate against other races and nationalities. And it's disgusting. It is flat out disgusting. So we have to, we got to get some guts, and we got to teach some guts, and we got to bring out some guts, and we have to psychologically get the enslaved shackles off of our minds, because that's what it is.
Absolutely.
I was watching this stuff, Montoya. I love what you guys talk about: street N-words, thug N-words, real N-words. Only about other black men, not against other animals. I'm gonna step up, and other people want to hop in. But love you guys. How you guys feel? Stay up, leaders.
No, I appreciate you for your 3 cents, man. Amazing 3 cents. For anybody else that might want to get in on this, even this discussion, please just press 1 if you're on the line. If you're listening online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. Corey, we got you back on, brother. Unmuted, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm unmuted, bro. I'm with you.
All right, good stuff, good stuff. Now, that's an amazing call, you know, from Andre Lefty. I was going to say to him, just because I think, you know, even bringing in that example of the past of, you know what I mean, of them watching that truancy officer throw that little young high schooler across the floor. And this is how, just to kind of bring it to head, how much that our psychological damage is and our fear. This is really just about our fear. It is that same teacher and administrator in that scenario initially came out in defense of the truancy officer before, if it had, you know what I'm saying, if it hadn't been caught on camera and got brought to a national, that guy probably still would have the job because the same teacher and the same administrator that called him in, had it not somebody recorded it, you know, because I remember, because what happened was, I remember when that happened, I remember watching a lot of people on social media talk about, some said, why did the young boy sit there? And some came to the defense of the young boys and says, well, the way they sat there was because they were so traumatized. And I really saw nobody else addressing the fact that there was two black grown administrators in there that allowed this white man to handle this little girl like this. We got actually another caller, man. I want to get this. Let's go ahead and get the other caller in. We're going to definitely get to James Shaw, man, because you're doing some amazing. You got an amazing initiative for him. But let's get to this caller real quick. Area code 770, last 3377. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this evening's conversation with Black Soccer Chiefs. How you doing?
Yes, I'm doing well. How you doing, Montoya? This is Isna, and I really am not shocked, and it surprises me that we remain shocked that the residue of what took place even in slavery is still present today. Our ancestors saw each other get raped, castrated, hung, and they were not able to do anything. A lot of them stood by. And it is the same thing that is being presented today. And if we really take into account that post-traumatic slavery disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, that is in the bloodline. That is something that is familiar and definitely something that is still current in today's times. If we can watch our children tape videos where people are actually stumping one another and no one steps in to stop it, we are not... It surprises me that we're surprised still that this is still an effect, not saying that we shouldn't be upset or that we should not be irate about the fact that it is still going on, but surprised, I don't think we should be, because this is a very, what is the word I'm trying to use? Oh, this is a
calculated, maybe, or... It's definitely generational. I know you already kind of said
it. It's generational. Mm-hmm. And so if we're expecting people, now, yeah, we went through a phase when, you know, the brothers wasn't letting nobody mishandle. But when society starts seeing brothers mishandling each other, the sisters, you know, being prostituted by our own people, it's very difficult for people to even take us serious when it comes to protecting each other, because I'm like, well, y'all did it to each other too. So, you know, why are you surprised that we're doing it? You all treat each other this way. And it is not to give any type of excuse, but it is a reason. And there's a difference between the two.
Strong thoughts, Queen. Corey, any thoughts to what Isn't had to say on our discussion of you?
Well, when I listen to it, right, it's just that I don't think people, or particularly me, I'm far from shocked about post-traumatic slave syndrome. I get it, right? We're definitely still suffering from the remnants of it. You're just going to erase 400 years of gross negligence, how they treat us mentally. But what at the end of the day, this is 2018, and I don't want to keep leaning on post-traumatic slave syndrome because most niggas is just comfortable. They're comfortable now. And they just said, Black America has shown folks that we exercise our right of choice. We exercise our right of choice. I mean, just look at our current situation. We exercise our right of choice all the time. Until it's time to matter, then we bitch up. And then we want to fall on, well, you know, post-traumatic slaves. No, some people are just some damn cowards. A lot of people are comfortable. A lot of people are comfortable. A lot of people don't want to give up what they quote-unquote built. And I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get it. But at some point, it's supposed to be it's 1 out of 10 is alpha male when it used to be 6 out of 10. One?
I want to say this too. I was watching a video that I don't know. I'm seeing there's probably like 63,000 views, and probably less shares of a documentary that has been filtering through Facebook in regards to a lot of the vaccines that we've gotten that alter our thinking, alter our aggression, making us more passive, the metals that are being put in our water, things that are being put in our food. And so I would really lean more on the side of that I don't think that we're just non-active or not wanting. I think a lot of passivity that we are now exposed to has a lot to do, too, with maybe what is going in our foods, in addition to, and I'm going to bring this up without any shame or any apologies, but even with the influx of the LGBT community, and we have never seen an influx like this. And I truly believe in my spirit, and there's nothing I can prove because then I would have to start opening up some bodies to try to do some research. But I think that there's something going on in vaccines that they are giving our people. The water, it ain't just in Flint. That's just the one that they've exposed. But believe you me, we are being pacified on a large scale. I don't think black people, as pro-black as we have a lot of people, and the things that they say, that they're just sitting idly by. I'm like, you know what? Oh, I'm not going to even stand up. Yeah, we marching, but ain't even in the marching, there's no action really that is making a difference other than the marching. So I really do believe it's not just a matter of us being not wanting to risk our position, because what position are we risking?
Let me ask you this, Queen, before I let you go. Well, I would definitely challenge you to do some more scientific research in that arena if I could. But let me ask you this. In comparison to what you just offered and in comparison mm-hmm. to what Brother Corey just had to say, I understand you kind of left with, you know, I think I already hear your position, but I just kind of want to ask you to juxtapose those against each other. I think your last thing,
okay.
I'd make sure I heard you clearly, was the last thing you just said was, you know what I'm saying, in a sense, what position do we have to lose? Now, you know, overall and how we're doing as a community in the United States, then maybe that's not much that we have to lose. But I would fall in agreement with Corey more so before we look into the conspiracy theories, because in my mind, at the end of the day, the aggression that happens towards our community and the aggression that we will, as Brother Andre just brought to the table, the aggression that we willfully have against one another, which is related to our self-hate for one another. So we are making, as Corey said, choices that don't show any passiveness in certain arenas. So I would challenge the idea of some type of conspiracy theory that's affecting, in a sense, just our community, and we watch other cultures be just as violent, and again, watch ourselves be violent. We, you know, again, a lot of that's due to self-hatred. But I would offer that there is a level of comfort that makes people say, well, I don't want to lose all of this. I mean, this brother, I don't know if you heard him say earlier, but he hung up on two sisters who, you know, from their point of view, go home, Corey, because they're looking out for this brother or whatever. But again, I do agree with him. That's still related to this level of thinking that was, you know, whereas I know he said he doesn't want to necessarily rely on post-traumatic slave syndrome, but it does in a sense affect the thinking. But is it not more of the comfortability in the sense of, man, I'm gonna give all this up, because we have had a chance to do to a certain extent what previous generations haven't had a chance. So if that makes sense. So I know I kind of said a lot, but I just want to give you one last thought on putting the comfortability
up against. You want to hear something so crazy though? And I'm not saying that I'm looking for props, right? But just the mere fact that she was instantly went to an excuse and justify why people ain't doing nothing versus saying, yo, bro, I commend you for doing something. Therein lies in the problem. You know what I'm saying?
That's a strong thought.
Therein lies in the problem right
thought.
There.
But can I want to make
I didn't even say, damn, brother, that's dope what you did. I appreciate blah, blah, blah. Instantly, but to make it a damn excuse on why XYZ ain't doing ABC. And then sometimes you wonder why brothers like me may not want to defend people, because this is what the shit we run into.
But Corey, no, I'm all for the for people standing up. As a sister, I stand up for underdogs, whether it be a male or a female. If I see someone that is being wrongly treated, as a woman, I stand up, because I don't like anybody to be deemed to be less than or looked down upon or treated unfairly or unjustly. And so I know even for a woman, I do things out of the box. I'm not afraid to stand up, and I will speak up. And I'm just saying, I'm not making any excuses, because, like you're saying, it is a choice. And I do choose to stand up for those that I feel that are wrongly accused. But I've been doing that for a long time, I'm saying, even in my teenage years. But so it is a choice. But what I'm saying is, I don't think it is a choice that most people are making because they feel like they have a whole lot to lose, because the people that we're talking about, they probably don't feel like they have anything to lose, but then they really don't have anything to gain. So they don't stand up. And I'm grateful for those who do, but there is a very few who do. Very few.
Well, I'll say this with you, and I'll let you go, so that's about the caller's queen. But the last thing I'll say to you is, if there's ever going to be an opportunity to bring some type of code that's going to effectively change and have more men stepping up and being willing to protect you, then we do have.
Hello?
Hello?
We couldn't hear you.
Did he cut off? Something must be going on.
Is that you, Corey?
It is me. Corey, what's going on, brother?
Oh, man, I don't know what's going on. Can y'all hear me now?
We can hear you.
Yeah, we good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Yeah, some of us went out on the phone. Okay. Well, last thing, I'm going to go, Queen, but I was just throwing out that that unfortunately, in my mind, when we look to these other conspiracies, and that's what they are in my mind, then we are placating and allowing what we're seeing to go on, versus I think Brother Corey is challenging us, and we should open up to that. And as he said, if we were giving him props, then we could have another generation that realizes, no, this is the better way to be, because what we're currently doing is not living by still continuing the way we're continuing, in my personal opinion. But thank you for your 3 cents, though, Queen. Appreciate you very much for always being on this.
No problem.
Nah, I think that was a strong point. You like I said, I definitely appreciate the Queen calling in, but I think it's a strong point that we're never going to get the actions we need if we don't even know how to properly applaud them. And that's kind of really what you were suggesting. Like I said, I know that wasn't even about you. You're just saying, you know, at a minimum, even if you're going to give, as you said, the excuse, at least start with the congratulations, right?
Right. I mean, because, you know, it wasn't about me. It was to prove a point.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't about you at all. I understand. That's why I said it was a great point. It was a very good point because it's still about the mentality.
Yeah, you got the person that actually did it, and yet and still, you was, you know, but hey. My niggas can't win for losing,
no,
man.
No, it's strong, though. It's strong. It's strong because we have no chance of creating a code without thinking this thing out about, okay, how do we normally react versus what should we be doing? If we're ever going to turn this around, we have to talk about that. But let's do this, man, and let's be fair so we don't take too much time. But this brother James Shaw, not only if anybody's been listening to your story, they heard what you did to protect your neighborhood and went out, whether they agree or disagree with it. I'll give you props. I think it's amazing. Glad to have you on the show just to even get the details to how far you went with it. And as you said, you were very close to the same area he was apprehended. So, your senses, your background played out to be relatively effective in, you know, possibly
well, trying to see this, it out.
This animal didn't, you know, do any more harm, man. So big props to you, if I could say that. But the props obviously has to go to James Shaw. And so you said something on Facebook and said, you know what, this brother deserves paid leave. And I was like, wow, this is an amazing thought. I'm ready to help with that. And so if you will, for anybody out there listening, just kind of give your thoughts behind what you're trying to do for that brother, because I am already on board. Let me say that before you even tell everybody. I'm already on board, and I applaud the action, brother. But if you will, speak to your whole sentiment, what made you think of it, and explain it to anybody out there listening.
Because, you know, niggas give a bunch of lip service, you know, and we dealing with a race of people that party on our martyrs' holidays, you know what I'm saying? Like, MLK weekend has become a joke in a lot of places now, right? So what happened, man, I just sat down and I just thought about when Mike Brown got shot in St. Louis, how Darren, oh yeah, we're going to say that bastard name, but how that pig in St. Louis not only had a paid leave of absence, but also, you know, got money set aside. White folks stopped pouring in, paying this man, because he was losing dough. Same with George Zimmerman. You know, the vigilante. You know what I'm saying? I said his bastard name. Well, fuck him anyway. Same with Dude, right? They instantly start, you know, throwing money his way. So the first thing I did, I said, you know what? I feel like I'm always waiting on people to step up, right? Even though I know it's the right thing to do. And instead of me complaining, instead of me saying this is what we should do, I just took the initiative and said, I don't want y'all just praying for this guy. We need to show this man gratitude. We need to show him that, hey, man, we appreciate what you did and offer whatever type of financial support that he needs. Because I understand that now the press conference is going to be coming to him. He probably can't go to work. You know what I'm saying? To do his thing, whatever the case may be. He may be losing some income. I'm sure that the young people who got shot didn't have any type of life insurance. You know, I'm in that industry, and I was right about that because they definitely got GoFundMe's for everyone in there. You know, so they had no type of life insurance whatsoever because they're young and they invisible. And no one thought they was going to, you know, everyone has the idea of death, they're going to die in their sleep. And that's how everybody want to go. They're going to go in their sleep, right? And people think they can predict their death. I'm sure those people who were unfortunately murdered did not think they was going to die going to Waffle House at 3 something in the morning. I'm sure they did, right? Which should be a wake-up call for everybody. Death happens at any time, right? So I was like, nah, man, we're going to compensate this brother. We're going to compensate them, so I started a GoFundMe page. And then, you know, the barrels, you know, the crab in the barrel mentality, right? Everybody, all of a sudden, they wanted to start their own page. Instead of getting no code, you know what I'm saying? They wanted to start their own page. So everybody started starting their own page. And then, man, the hell with GoFundMe, man. We're gonna give it directly to a Cash App. You know what I'm saying? We can't trust the people who want to try to do GoFundMe. I was like, we gonna start doing some nigga shit. You know, like a thoughtful gesture that everyone should just got on board, especially with my reputation. They said, oh, man, Corey Scott, that's what he do. We're gonna do X, Y, Z. So
yeah,
it was a
let me jump in too. Let me jump in and let me speak on that reputation real quick for anybody out there listening and why I was easily on board based on the reputation. And I'm not a GoFundMe person, generally speaking. I'm talking about as far as endorsing them.
Me neither.
You know,
I'm definitely supporting.
In the
industry.
Yeah, of course not. You're industry. You're totally against them, right? But let me just throw this out. You know, I'm just giving some context for anybody out there that's my regular listener. You know, to say. That I wouldn't support. The only GoFundMe I supported thus far was actually Andre's organization when they were doing the direct money directly to the Houston flood victims, you know, just to kind of give a backdrop to how I am or whatever, just so people know that I'm not quick to do this or whatever because, you know, people hearing you tonight, you know, they may like what you say or they may not like what you say, but either way, when it comes down to James Shaw, and the opportunity to support that brother in the way that you're offering, if there's anybody that you can trust, I'm willing to say that about you, and that's why I'm sending my money to your GoFundMe. And with that said, just throwing out what you just talked about, I got a brother Pianca who calls my show quite often, and he always says, you know, as we're you know doing things, we have to be careful not to do the Me Too and Me Three and Me Four. And we would actually have more strength if we would just jump on board with the vehicle that's already running. And so, unfortunately, like you said, you already are experiencing that. So, again, not to you know, knock anybody that if you're deciding to give, period, good. I'm just pointing people in this direction because I respect you wholeheartedly, brother. So if I could say that before you continue
that,
exactly what you, you know, before you can continue with that, explaining it, yep.
But let me tell you what happened though. So one of my homegirls, man, who was doing a phenomenal job, as you know, 40 under 40, they're close contact. She wound up getting in contact with James Shaw's mother. And when she got in contact with his mother, she realized that he was going to start him a GoFundMe page. And the minute I found out that he was going to start his own GoFundMe page, I deactivated mine, so and started pushing here. You know what I'm saying?
Beautiful, beautiful, even better.
You know, but
perfect example
still
of what we're talking about. Perfect example.
Yeah,
of what
I deactivated
we're
mine, man. So we can you know push this agenda, man. But you know, the cesspool that's known as Nashville, the black bourgeois, you know, they just had to try to do it their way, you know, and turn this into like a Me Too movement. Well, look what I've done, you know what I'm saying? And I was
right.
Like, wow, you know, but...
And that's why I support you, brother, because that don't even cross my mind with you. You understand what I'm saying? Because I knew the minute that you thought of the idea, because you were the first I saw even thinking of it, and, you know, again, that's not, I know you don't care about that, which is another reason why I support you. You know what I'm saying? Because I know the sincerity in which it was being done, and the example of what you just told me is proof of that sincerity, because you did the very thing I just said, Brother Pianca always recommends. We have to be careful not to do the Me Too, Me Three, Me Four, and that's exactly what you did. Like you said, as soon as you find out the man's doing it himself, then we could just put all that money where we know it's going directly. It's his. It's not through somebody. So, yes, it's even better. And you acted on code immediately, but as you said, we still – you know, people who do it for attention, which is not why you did it and why I wanted to support you. And I'm still going to support you. I know you're going to direct me and any of my listeners to directly to that man right now, and that's what I want to do. So I'm glad
I have
an opportunity.
I'll tag you on the page. Yeah, I'll definitely tag you on the page.
Yeah, I'm doing it tonight.
Fun,
as soon as we get off the phone.
Man.
Yeah, as soon as we get off, man. So I don't want to take up too much more of your time, man, but I just appreciate the thought process, and I just respect you, King. I mean, you know, if I could say that. You know, nothing else. And of course, anytime you make it back to Atlanta, you know, let's break bread again. I was glad to finally get
here.
Oh, yeah,
man, I'll be in Atlanta
you.
Real soon, man. We're going to have a good time next go around. Trust that.
Yeah, I can dig it. But nah, man, it was cool when we were doing a Generational Wealth Conference with Evan Jefferson. I finally got to meet you because we had been on the show a couple times together, and we finally got to meet each other and break some bread last time. So, man, definitely appreciate you. Thank you for the king that you are. And, you know, let's keep. I know you got some sons. You raising to be some alpha male, so we can boost it. I gotta get on. I gotta get on my game. Get me a wife and get me some kids so I can help with the pool
yeah,
of alpha males, man.
Man, I'm
definitely trying to raise
more. Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate you, man. It was an honor meeting you, man. You're definitely a solid guy in person, man. I mean, we had our disagreement about certain topics, man.
Absolutely.
The fact that we were still able to break bread and keep pushing, that's how men are supposed to operate. So you definitely exude that, and I appreciate you for allowing me to serve on your platform.
Absolutely. Last thing before you go, because you just briefly mentioned the insurance, please let people know about First Family Life. Let me say this before you even go into it. If you've heard Corey on the show before, he's given out this information. This dude is brilliant when it comes to ensuring that you are leaving a legacy for your family. I watched a man explain to somebody, you know, just a couple of weeks ago that at the end of the day, if you're not retiring with a couple million, and he helps to show you how to do that, then you're not prepared for retirement. And he just, as you already heard, the brother keeps it straight, no chasing with all his clients. He hasn't become the owner of First Family Life. With how many agents you got working for you now, brother? I know it's a big number.
Man,
you know,
I got 20 in school, and I got 24 active agents. 20 in school and 24 active agents, man, from L.A. to California, you know, from Massachusetts all the way to Oregon. So, you know, I'm building. I believe everyone needs to control their own personal economy. The fast way to control your personal economy is understanding the power of life insurance. And that is my job, to educate people how they can control their economy. Money is not designed to be spent. It's designed to be made. And you are supposed to protect your I'm supposed to live off the interest. So like I always say, man, cash is king. Credit is queen, but insurance is the gatekeeper to protect all your assets. So if you want to learn about how to power insurance to benefit you, please call me at 615-18-5345. Shoot me a text. Let me know you was on a Mental Dialogue talk show so you can get a free complimentary consultation. You can go on my Facebook page, Family First Life, Music City Brokers. You know, check it out. I'm contracted with the top 50 carriers in the world. You can email me at Corey, C-O-R-Y, Senior, Corey Senior, at Corey Insurers, I-N-S-U-R-E-S.com, Corey Insurers, Corey Senior, CoreyInsurers.com. That's how you get in contact with me.
Yeah, and if you will, I always ask every guest to do this. Would you please send me a Facebook message with everything you just said so that I can always post it anytime I repost this show so that it's easy for people to get the information to get in contact with you. So please send me a message, and I'll gladly post it with the replay. Now, thank you, King, man.
Cool.
It's been real. May do it again in the future when it matters.
I appreciate it, sir.
All right, for sure. All right, everybody, episode 5 of Conversation with Black Socrates. Still, all I ask is that you thank y'all for being with us this evening. Please spread the word on this podcast, send it around, let people hear some of the things. You know, myself and Corey, again, I just respect that brother greatly. Not about whether you agree or disagree with everything. It's about getting different perspectives so that you learn to think and critically think on your own and make your own decisions and improve yourselves. So look forward to it. Make sure you check us out Saturday morning. A regular scheduled show, the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can always catch the show anytime we're doing one, whether it's pop-up or Saturday morning at the top of the Mental Dialogue Facebook page as well. See y'all on Saturday. Take care.